For the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about what are we about. You know, next Saturday, of course, we've been telling you that the Vision Team and many members of our church will host the first outreach picnic at Lindbergh Park. And they've invited over 500, about 500 families, as you heard, and they've given them an invitation to go to our church breakfast. And it's wonderful to have them reach out to people in our community to invite them to our church. But it's not just their efforts. It's all our efforts that are important. So this morning, I'd like to think with you about what are we about? There were two young boys, you know, brothers. And they were a handful. They were kind of rascals in this little town. And whenever anything out of line would happen in this little town, they would catch the blame. And usually it was their fault. Well, after a fire at the school, the boys' parents, they were driven to the point of distraction, and they decided that they'd send the older boy, which is 10 years old, to counsel with the pastor. Well, the boy was really frightened because the minister that they went, the church where they went to, was very austere, and he had a black robe on, and, you know, he wasn't too friendly. He wondered what it'd be like to be in the same place with him, you know, but he decided he'd go, and so he went to the pastor's study, and the minister looked at the young fellow somberly, and then he asked, "Young man, where's God?" Well, the boy had no idea what to say, so he just sat there in silence. And then the minister repeated the question, "Young man, where is God?" And the boy still sat there and said nothing. The pastor finally asked again, "Young man, I said, where is God?" Well, the boy got up out of the chair. He ran out of the office. He went all the way home. He ran upstairs, and he started packing his bag, and his brother looked and saw him, and he says, "Hey, what's going on?" And he yelled at his brother, "You had better pack too, brother. They've lost God, and I know we're going to get blamed for it." We live in a world that has lost God, and we're not even sure where to put the blame. Consider our treatment of Sunday, for instance. Once there were laws that businesses wouldn't open on Sunday. Those laws have long gone by the boards. And then businesses began opening at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, leaving time for the employees to go to church. And then it came to the place where we are today, where stores, it makes no difference between Sunday and the rest of the week. Check out the television on Sunday morning. There was a time when most television stations carried at least one Sunday morning worship service at their own expense. The FCC required public service programming, and some of that was devoted to religious programming. But no more. In some communities, you can see as many as 50 channels on a Sunday morning, and cable and everything, and there are no Sunday worship services. Some of that can be accredited to our friends, the TV evangelists, but not all of it. God simply does not exist as far as most TV programmers are concerned. Check out the content of most television primetime programs. If religion is mentioned, it's always mentioned and made fun of. As when Bart Simpson, on that Simpson program, you know, aimed at millions of Americans, and old Bart is asked to pray and say a grace, you know, and he says, "Well, dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." If you don't think that this is the attitude of America's media, then you must have your head in a stand somewhere. I know we live in a wide open society. America's free. As good citizens of this land, we must respect the rights of those who do not believe the same way we do, and that is as it should be. But must God now be a stranger in this land of ours? Someday we may learn, as did the rulers of Russia, that when you kill God off, you also kill off the society's values. People cannot live by bread alone. It was not socialism that destroyed Russia, it was the absence of God. If it is true that we have lost God, how should we find him? More to the point, how should we help our society and our world find him? If God is known in our land, it will be because there are persons who confess with their lips that Jesus is Lord. And of course, that is our scripture for this morning in the 10th chapter of Romans. If someone must be blamed for the loss of God in our society, it must not be the humanists or the atheists or the media. The blame lies squarely on us. Somehow, we're going to have to make it fashionable in Christian circles for people to be able to talk about the religious things without embarrassment. Some of us nowadays have no difficulty talking about politics and money and anything else, but we get tongue-tied when it comes to talking about our faith in God. When we visited Australia some years ago, Betty and I went on the tour of Australia, we visited the largest butterfly farm in the world. One of the kinds of butterflies that were there was called the Killama butterfly. The Killama butterfly flies are often called the dead leaf butterflies. The upper side of their wings is brilliantly colored, but under the underside of their wings is drab gray and brown. While in flight, their color is very visible. But when they light, then the butterfly just folds up its wings and it appears to be like a dead leaf. Many of us are just like that butterfly. We're brilliantly colored on Sunday morning. People see us walking in the church doors and they think very quickly that we once made a commitment to Christ. But in the world outside these walls, we have learned to fold our wings and blend in with the rest of society. We are so successful in becoming as dead leaves that when Gallup takes his polls, he finds that no appreciable difference between the average Christian and the rest of society. In World War II, one of the boldest and most dramatic decisions in the naval warfare was made by Admiral Mitscher in the Battle of the Philippine Islands, or the Philippine Sea. Late in the afternoon on December and June the 20th, 1944, Mitscher had dispatched a late afternoon bombing mission against the fleeing Japanese fleet. It was pitch dark when the first of the pilots began returning to their carriers. But with the fleet under strict wartime blackout regulations and the pilots' fuel supplies running dangerously low, many of the pilots would never find their way back to their carriers. Admiral Mitscher took a calculable risk. He turned the lights on one running pilot, a returning pilot, described the scene as Hollywood premiere, or the Chinese New Year's, or the 4th of July, all rolled into one. For 2 hours, the planes landed. Some pilots, weary and almost out of gas, had to ditch in the sea, but relatively few of them were lost. To a community where many still are in spiritual darkness, to a country and a world where many are still unaware or unconcerned about Christ's love and forgiveness, let us dedicate ourselves to turning on the lights the saving light of our of glory over of God and the face of Jesus Christ. If God is known in our lands, it will be because there are persons who confess with their lips that Jesus is Lord. If there are persons who confess with their lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, however, it must be because they first believe in their hearts. What does this mean, believing in your heart? It means to believe with your mind and to have the same loving, acceptable, and non-condemning heart that Jesus had. Herb Miller tells about the trial that was beginning years ago in a small county town, county seat town, one of the little tiny towns, you know. When the officials prepared to swear in the first witness, they couldn't find the Bible that they had used for many years. A quick search revealed nothing. Finally, the judge called the bailiff over and he whispered in his ear, "Go down to the county clerk's office and get Ed." Well, Ed had been an elder in the local church longer than anyone had ever remembered. He was a shining example of what the Christian faith is all about. And in a few minutes, the bailiff approached the bench with Ed. And then the judge said, "Ed, you have communicated more of the Bible to more people than most of the Bibles in our town. You will make a good substitute for the Bible, because we can't find it." And so the first witness placed his hand on Ed's head and swore the oath, and the trial began. "Lord, I want to be a Christian," says the old gospel hymn or the old spiritual hymn. That ought to be our prayer. "Lord, I want to be more loving. I want to be more holy. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart." Malcolm Muggeriger became a Christian at the age of 79. Now, he was an atheist over in Britain, and he was very astute about talking about his atheism, but he found the Lord. And somebody asked him, "Explain how your conversion, how was it?" And Muggeriger said he had resisted all the great books and all the great sermons. But when he saw Mother Teresa in Calcutta with the poor, he said, "If this is what it's all about, I gotta have it." And that is the only kind of evangelism that will work in today's world. It follows as night to day, follows the day that if we truly believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we will want everyone else to believe it too. When you find something that brings pleasure into your life, you want to share it. A new place to eat, a neat place to buy clothes, or an excellent movie. We share with our friends that which improves our lives. So it is with our faith. When we have the love and joy and peace of Christ resting in our heart, we want to share it too. And that is how the Christian community continues to expand, by word of mouth. We can do all the advertising in the world, but research shows that 2/3 to 3/4 of all the new church members in this country respond because of a friend or a family member has invited them to go to church with them. In the fast-growing churches, the range is 2/3 to 7/8. And in the very rapidly growing churches, invitations from friends and family members account for more than 90% of the new members. And what are we about? We have a warm, friendly, loving church. We have a Dial Hope telephone outreach ministry that has touched the lives of thousands of people over the past 13 years. From time to time, we have specific programs that help people with their lives, like video courses in parenting and in marriage and even divorce and grief. We have a Sunday school and Bible classes for children and young adults and older adults. We have men's and women's groups. Oh, yes, we advertise with 15,000 flyers in the Union Tribune newspaper in our zip code areas, and that's going to happen for us again on December the 9th, the 6th of December. But in order to help our church grow, we all need to invite our friends and our neighbors to come to church with us on Sunday mornings. When we say to a friend or neighbor, "My church means so much to me. The people are so caring. The services are so joyful. I believe you would enjoy it too. How about coming with me to church next Sunday?" And then our church will grow. In Wakanda, Illinois, population 6,500 people, they have placed two large illuminated crosses on the city water towers every Christmas time for 43 years. Sometime back, the council received a threat of legal suit on the grounds of separation of church and state, and grudgingly they took the crosses down. But the people of Wakanda, Illinois, took the matter into their own hands. They said to themselves, "We can put whatever we want on our own property." So all over that little community, up went crosses and nativity stars and crutches and lights. And that little community had never dazzled like it dazzled at Christmas. You could see Wakanda, Illinois from the interstate freeway. You could see Wakanda, Illinois hundreds of miles away. All night it was as bright as day in Wakanda, Illinois, because the people decided to turn on the lights. And that's what's needed in our community today. We need to turn on the lights. We need to profess with our lips the Lord who has bought us, who has so much brought us so much peace and love and joy into our hearts. And then we do that, the whole world will be a better place to live, for the world will have found God. We all need to have a personal, loving relationship with God. We need to know that God loves us just as we are, and God really wants us, wants to help us. In silent prayer right now, let's ask God to come into our lives. Just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life and help me. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives this morning and help us to help others to know you. Lead and guide us in our lives. Give us that wonderful joy and happiness that you want for each and every one of us. And bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.